This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we are back here again after an amazing episode last week with Leslie Kane. Now, she talked about UFOs and the series of articles she co-wrote for the New York Times. Not the failing New York Times. It's not failing. The digital version makes money. So we'll get away from that. And her book, Surviving Death, in 2017. Now, back to the UFO thing. She mentioned that a year or two back, one of the stories she co-wrote was the number 10 most popular story in terms, I guess, views on the New York Times digital edition about UFOs in the old gray lady, the digital version. That is fascinating. Randall?
Yeah, I like Leslie's stick-to-it attitude with this. She's been at it long enough now that even people in the ufology community who maybe weren't quite sure about her at first, they're saying, well, no, she's really done a fantastic job of bringing it out to the general public in a way that's been more acceptable to people. And she's the one, I think, who has been the point on the axe that is chipped through the ice to get it out into the mainstream news.
Well, that's, I think, almost amazing that something of that sort happened after all this time. Out of the blue, in December 2017, we're reading an article and learning about this Pentagon program about UFOs. And then I look at the authors, and one of them is Leslie Kane. Oh, that's what she's been doing. Out of the blue. And suddenly, a lot of places take UFOs more seriously than they did before, because if the New York Times and Politico are taking it seriously, well, how about some of those other publications? They have to also, the Washington Post, etc.
I thought it was pretty interesting what she had to say about Elizondo. And I wasn't that easy on Leslie. I tried to be as tactful as possible, but there were times when, you know, she was seemed to almost shy away from the questions a little bit. I'm not sure that she's really used to that since she's become quite so famous, a personality in the field. But she did good at answering the questions when I was saying, well, Elizondo, there are people who are saying, well, there's no real evidence that he actually was the head, in quotes, of the program, although that's the way he's been billed. So she helped us to straighten that out, saying, well, from what they could tell, he was the, what she kind of called the point man. Now, I'm not really sure how you differentiate the two, and I'm still not really sure at this point exactly what Elizondo's role in this whole thing is. But, you know, she was convinced enough that he had enough of a coordinating position to be considered as it to be in a leadership position. So that's pretty fair. What do you guys think about that? Do we know yet exactly what Elizondo was and what he was doing?
I'm going to ask our guest here, David Stone, known as Stoneheart, in our forums, and he's a gentleman from New Zealand, and he's 20 mm-hmm. hours ahead of us.
Yeah, 20 hours. It's a beautiful day down here in New Zealand. For once, it's not blowing a gale here in Canterbury. I actually don't have a huge opinion on this. I haven't watched that particular, well, listened to that particular show yet, Randall, so I can't really sort of answer the question, my friend.
How about in general the fact that a publication like the New York Times has printed serious stories about UFOs?
I think it's a serious sea change. As long as they're really handling them in sort of a sort of how we say, not a sort of woo-woo sort of way, as many publications have done in the past, to sort of, you know, the whole sort of cringe factor when it comes to talking about UFOs. If that's the case, that it has been taken in a serious light, well, it's a major step forward for ufology. I mean, for myself, as you know, I haven't been around a lot on the forums, because at one point I kind of got to the point where I don't know where any of this goes. I don't have any answers. The more I look at it, the less I understand what's going on. When you start throwing the high strangeness and bits and pieces, it just becomes kind of wacky, and I step back for a while. I think, in my opinion, I'm an engineer by trade, so I'm a nuts and bolts guy. So I don't know about you, Randall, but that's where I come down on. I'm very nuts and bolts. I think these things have a physical form, but then again, you come across the cases whereupon it's high strangeness. It's very weird. And what would be interesting to see is if some of these accounts are actually being portrayed or put out into, say, the New York Times, etc., talk about the more stranger cases.
Right now, it looks like the New York Times is basically focusing on what they're calling UAPs rather than UFOs, physical aircraft that cannot be identified. And I suspect going where you'd like them to go, and maybe I'd like them to go, into high strangeness, would not be politically correct and would really hurt their credibility right now, maybe later on.
That old political correctness thing. Yes, I know. But, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, we probably don't really want them focusing on the more high strangers stuff, because in a lot of ways, I think ufology needs to build a lot more credibility in just the general public. So you don't get that sort of, you know, little green aliens cringe factor happening, which has happened for a long time. I mean, me as a lecturer, isn't it? In the tertiary institution, for a long time, I was very, very worried about actually even talking about it. Nowadays, I don't really care. If somebody wants to talk to me about it, I will do. So I'm quite happy and open about what my opinions are on ufology and you know, ghosts, etc., anything. I think people see things. You know, whereupon whether they're real or not, that's not the point. I think for me, I tend to look at what is the person. I think it's more about people than the actual event itself. You know where I'm going with that?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is why we were talking about Elizondo, and why I wanted to ask Leslie about how much she really knew about him when she saw these documents. She said that supposedly were confirmation enough for her in the New York Times to believe that he was in this Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program.
One thing, Randall, we should point out is that there have been contradictory statements. Originally, it was indicated that he was the head of the program, and then later that he wasn't, even though he was part of it. Now, I don't know if that's government disinformation or not. I don't think when we get into areas of personalities and stuff like that, I think that Leslie kind of sort of wanted to stay away from that. She wanted to look at the subjects insofar as the New York Times would write about them. I doubt the New York Times cares so much about the ins and outs of the UFO field otherwise.
But we do. You see, that's just the thing. And I don't think it's fair for a journalist to say, well, we don't really want to talk about that because I don't have enough information about that, or I don't know if your listeners want to know that, because you know what? Our listeners do want to know that. She's a person who was in the New York Times and claims to have been looking directly at these documents. We don't get to see them, but she did. This is important stuff, whether she thinks it is or not. And when we have another person who interviews a different person who says that Elizondo, and I'm quoting here directly, Mr. Elizondo had no responsibilities with regard to the AATIP program.
We can get on with this topic for a few more minutes, guys, but I really don't want to see us jump into the UFO rabbit hole of consistencies, inconsistencies, contradictions, and all that stuff. By the way, I wanted you listeners to visit our upgraded Paracast store at theparacast.shop. We offer branded merchandise with the official Paracast logos. In fact, four different logos. Choose the one you like. Once again, pay a visit to theparacast.shop. I guess we're back into typical UFO conversation. David Stone, also known as Stoneheart, in our forums. With Gina Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
This message is for all sexually active men. Now, you can get the same active ingredients as in Viagra and Cialis online in chewable form from BlueChew.com. Chewable can mean better, cheaper, and for some men, work faster. Get started 100% online. So no in-person doctor visit, no waiting at the pharmacy, and no more awkwardness. BlueChew.com ships directly to your door in discreet packaging. So order now. You'll love it, and so will your partner. For a limited time, first-time customers get their first shipment free. Just pay $5 shipping when you use the promo code FAST at BlueChew.com. Chewable can mean better, cheaper, and for some men, work faster. That's BlueChew.com. Promo code FAST.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. The service is not intended to replace your primary care physician or cure any disease.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
As always, the Paracast has an international flavor. Randall's in Calgary. I am in Mesa, Arizona. David Stone is off somewhere on the other side of the world in New Zealand.
Yeah. I'm down here in Canterbury, Christchurch, New Zealand, is where I'm based. You want to find that on a map. We're on the East Coast. The East Coast is quite famous for some UFO cases, actually. Kaikoura Lights, you might have heard of them before. They happened in the 1970s. If anybody wants to look up that case, it's really interesting. I don't think it's ever really been truly disproven. So go and have a good look.
You started, Randall, talking about the questions about Luis Elizondo. Let's go into that again.
Yeah, right before the break, we left off where I was just quoting another person who had done research into this and got a statement from someone apparently also in the military. This is their, and they say there's no discernible evidence that Luis Elizondo ever worked for a government UFO program, let alone led one, and right up until his retirement. So who are we supposed to believe here?
That's what seriously concerns me, is these situations where one said one thing, another says another. I don't think it works in our favor in ufology at all. In a lot of ways, it discredits things. I think sometimes it's better to remain silent about certain stuff. I mean, don't sort of, how do I put this? Don't step up and put information out there without absolutely understanding what the facts really are. And can you actually truly confirm that this person was involved in this operation or in this part of governmental research, etc.? If you can't do that, it's best to remain silent. That's my opinion on it. Because there's so many times in ufology where you see this sort of thing happen, and it just ends up discrediting what validity there may have actually been in any given case. You hear where I'm coming from, Randall?
Oh, absolutely. But and then in the same, of course, I mean, we want to know. So we have to look at both sides, because if you don't look at both sides, well, then you lose credibility. If you're just a pro wide-eyed believer and you never question anything, then you lose credibility. If you just say it's all nonsense, you lose credibility. In the same article, it says here that there was a Pentagon spokeswoman named Dana White who did confirm to Politico, another online reporting website, that the program, the ATIP program, existed, which I'm pretty confident that we can say existed, mm-hmm. and that it was run by Elizondo. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, why? Why do we get this contradictory evidence coming from the same sources?
I don't know. Not to get all conspiratorially, disinformation, creating hype. I don't understand it myself. No, I'm the sort of person, I think we've discussed this on the forums over the years. Hey, give me the facts. I mean, I will have an open mind about anything and everything, but not so open that my brains fall out. But show me the facts. Show me your information. I'll believe you. But if I don't have the information in front of me, I don't know. And if I get too much contradictory information, I'm going to start looking sideways at the researcher themselves, saying, okay, so what are we playing here? Namely because I keep a very skeptical mind, and I think you have to in a lot of respects. How many times have we had this sort of thing happen, as I've said?
But in this case, you have the right hand saying, yes, he was, the left hand saying he wasn't, and either one hand doesn't know what the other hand is doing, or they're trying to confuse everybody, and they're aware of the UFO field. So as soon as you do this, you drive everybody up the wall. I think, for example, John Greenwald of the Black Vault was one of the people who tried to get information about this.
Yeah, I tend to start to switch off when I start seeing that stuff happen. I go, no, I'll move on and start looking at something else. That whole sort of internal stuff in ufology starts to actually irritate me. Like I said, lay the facts on the table. Show me the information. I want to look at it and make my own opinion from it. So that's the way I'll approach it. And I'll actually watch or listen to the particular episode and see where you're coming from with it, Randall, because it'll be very interesting.
Well, a lot of people do look to high-profile journalists like Leslie for accurate information. So I think it's important to be able to discuss the types of information that they're bringing out to the community. And it was excellent to have her on the show. One thing that I did get from Leslie is that she's very genuine. I don't get from her at all that she is just trying to do it for the notoriety or that she's in it to make herself into a UFO guru or anything like that. She comes across as a really genuine, nice person, which is, and I've always kind of liked her in that regard. But at the same time, I kind of worry, you know, that she's getting – when you're getting to these controversial fields, yeah, you can find yourself in some kind of hot water. And you know, I like her enough that I don't want to see that happen with her, you know.
But I think she's been around long enough to know how to sidestep the weeds. She's been doing it for 20 years. Of course, she was with Bud Hopkins in his final years, and she was aware of some of the controversies that arose over Bud Hopkins and Dr. David Jacobs that we won't mention here again. Mm-hmm. And she understood what was going on there. And I think trying to keep that arm's length and focusing just on the facts is the best thing she can do.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's also, I know, but that's also a little bit of a, it's like a safety net. And you know, forgive me here, but to just say, well, I don't know, you know, she went backed a little bit into a corner. She would always go to that, well, I don't know, I'm just a journalist and I report what people tell me. And okay, so that's sort of your last line of defense, but really, if you're going to write about a contentious subject like that in a way that promotes it to be something that should be taken seriously, then I think you need to be prepared to do a little more than that, to be personally invested in it, to say, you know, I am interested in this. I have a perspective on this. Why would someone do it otherwise? Is it just purely so that they can sell books and they don't really care?
Bear in mind, Randall, she's one of two or three authors of this piece. So she doesn't have full voting rights there. This decision could have been a collective decision, and she'll abide by it because she wants to continue her association with the Times. I don't know about the ins and outs of that publication, but bear in mind she's just a contributor. I don't know about the status of the others. If we have a full-time employee there, they will hold the cards. They have in-house editors to deal with. So it's not just one person, one lone wolf. So
well,
I'm not trying to make an excuse for her. I just understand where she comes from. By the way, I have an article that just came to my attention, and this is something we can discuss in the next segment. And it's written in a British newspaper, but it quotes somebody we know on the Paracast. It says, is Earth ready for alien contact? It is now. Mm-hmm. Government UFO expert pens contingency plan. Who do you think that is? We'll tell you who it is. We'll get back to Leslie Kane, get back to the possibilities of disclosure and all the other stuff that's going on here. We have David Stone, known as Stoneheart, in our forums with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
China is now facing increased isolation from other countries with international curbs and flight suspensions. The death toll from the spreading coronavirus outbreak is now at least 304. U.S. health officials are confirming an eighth case, a person in Massachusetts. Dr. Larry Madoff with the Bureau of Infectious Disease and Laboratory Sciences says the virus particles are not airborne.
They're spread from an infected person to another person.
this kind of spread requires close face-to-face contact over a period of time. It's not like measles, for example, which can be spread through the air and through which just casual contact can result in infection.
The U.S. is banning foreign nationals who have recently been to China. White House Democratic hopeful John Delaney has decided to drop out of the race in his run for the presidency. This is USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
Warning, don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build for your business to grow, call General Steel today for a pre-engineered steel building designed for your needs. No wasted space. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building. And you can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. As much as half. But you must call now. If you need a church building, office, warehouse, manufacturing space, retail space, or more, call General Steel today. You can still get the General's 50-year structural warranty and General Steel quality, all at a price you can afford. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great.
800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
Okay, so we return. David Stone is our guest. He's one of the leading forum members, and thus we're doing kind of a Shop Talk episode, catching up. But we're going into a lot of different topics. We mentioned Leslie Kane and the New York Times article, and I quoted a piece from The Express in the UK. Now, who do you think the government UFO expert is they are quoting?
In the UK, Nick Pope?
Yeah, it has to
okay.
be.
Okay. Nick Pope, who worked for the Ministry of Defense between 1985 and 2006, says the world is incredibly underprepared for the eventuality of extraterrestrial contact. I'll give you another paragraph here, which covers some things. Whether humans discover alien microbes on Mars or detect radio signals from a distant civilization, Mr. Pope said, top-level strategic planning needs to be readily available. And he does have this piece that's in the article from The Express entitled The Detection and Discovery of Extraterrestrial Life. And once again, he's going into different ways of dealing with it, assuming, like most governments, they have no contingency plan. You know, governments go from crisis to crisis, like this outbreak in China. Okay? They go from crisis to crisis. They're never prepared. Something comes out of left field. They don't know what to do with it. Well, now they have UFOs. Suddenly we have renewed interest with the Navy. We have no idea to what extent the government is involved in research or whether they just tossed it under the rug. Ah, just a bunch of wacky stuff. Let's stay out of that thing. We don't know. And that means that if the other side, the other shoe drops, and something from out there comes here and says, take me to your leader, or whatever it is, we're not ready for that.
I mean, maybe the governments aren't ready, but I think we underestimate people. I think most people actually gives a given, yes, there's life out there. I mean, myself, I wouldn't really particularly bothered about it. It's like, well, yes, there are aliens. Well, it's a very big universe. It doesn't surprise me very much. I don't think there'd be the big panic that I think a lot of people seem to think there might be. There's been so much in popular culture for so long that I think in some sense, the whole grey aliens thing, the population's kind of desensitized to it. I don't know, but that's kind of my opinion. It's where I'm coming from.
We're looking here at the people. Sure, they might be ready for it, but you have invested interests around the world, the energy industry especially, because they own many of the politicians here.
Yeah, now here's the problem. The problem with politicians, and let's just call them global elites, not to get too conspiratorial, people like that can't see a world that exists without them in control. Anything that upsets or may tip the balance out of their own control is a major threat. Now, are they prepared for that? I don't know. But I would see any discovery of an alien species, an intelligent one, and one obviously a heck of a lot more technologically advanced than we are, given by the fact they've been able to cross the vast expanses of space, they would see them instantaneously as a major threat. So are they prepared for that? I doubt it. And how could you prepare for it? No idea.
Right. Prepared on what level, I guess. Yeah, sure. I mean, we're certainly not prepared enough to be able to intercept them because they can still outperform the best that we've got, apparently.
Absolutely. I love the group episode on Gary Voorhees as well. That Tic Tac UFO, I think, kind of drives that home. You can't get near them. You can't touch them. What is it? No idea. Is it entirely possible it is man-made? I don't know. I don't generally jump straight on the alien hypothesis. I think most of you guys over the years know that. I try to keep an open mind where that's concerned. But if I was a betting man, I'd say it wasn't ours.
Yeah, well, with Voorhees, that was pretty interesting. And, of course, we've had Kevin Randall on as well and a couple of others. When we bring up the idea that maybe what was happening in this naval exercise where this Tic Tac UFO was detected and spotted is that it's some sort of an advanced countermeasures where it's not actually a craft. It's something that was made to spoof radar and to simulate an appearance, perhaps with some sort of new holographic technology. And we know that that kind of technology is within our capability to create now. So if we're going to go with rule of thumb, well, if we can do it, it's probably ours. And that would give them enough reason to keep it secret, of course, if they were testing that out. And there are precedents for that, like back with the Skyhook balloon. And that was also a Navy exercise.
Yeah, Occam's razor. I mean, what's the most logical explanation of the whole situation? That's why I tend to fall on the side, and all of us do, that 99% of UFO sightings, etc., are man-made or a misidentified natural phenomenon. However, that Tic Tac was, it still got me scratching my head with that, but you may actually be right. It could easily be something made to spoof radar. It could be.
Well, it can be done, and that's the thing. And when the guy who was in charge of looking after the equipment that detects them says, yeah, it's possible. And someone like Kevin D. Randall says, yeah, that's absolutely possible. It sounds reasonable. Then you got to go, well, it's not, you know, it's not just a tinfoil hat theory. It's something that, well, maybe that's the case.
Even as an engineer, I'm looking and going, it's quite possible.
Yeah, so, yeah, well, these days, I mean, you know, 20, 30 years ago, I don't think so. I don't think we had the technology to do that. So that's where I always go when it comes to UFOs and the best evidence. It still comes out of the classic age and the golden era, so to speak.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, what's the old saying that technologically, as far as military is concerned, 50 years ahead of what you're actually seeing the military use? Quite possible.
I think 50 is probably pushing it. Like, the B-1 and the flying wing. And I mean, you know, it's maybe 5 to 15 years, maybe. I would say, but well, I mean, we don't know for sure, but and even then we're still talking about aircraft, things that use aerodynamics to push them around. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't think they'd be building like, you know, the Lightning if they could build a UFO, because those things are so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
If they could build something like, you know, with anti-gravity propulsion, why would they be building jets still? It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but what was in a comment? I mean, it's many years ago. I read this on the forum. There was a counter that say, well, if you had something like anti-gravitic technology, why would you show that? That's like a trump card. It's sort of something that you would hold on to and keep aside. I mean, for the more sort of paranoid, I think maybe that's a case. There certainly is a case for keeping certain technologies under wraps for a very, very long time, but I don't think human beings actually have anti-gravitic propulsion as yet. I think we're probably a good century or so away from that, it technologically. That's just my opinion, though. Just this is a tech.
David, 100
years, that's
being
a long time.
David Stone, I wanted to ask you if you can give us more about your background. We know you're an engineer. Mm-hmm. You're a teacher now, right?
Yes, yeah. I moved into teaching, to be about a good 5 years ago. I was an acoustic engineer for 26, 27 years, frontline, touring tech and doing installation design work. So that's my background. The thing with acoustics is it takes on a lot of different fields, including physics, et cetera, as anybody who does studies or does what I did would understand. What I've seen over the many, many years is how technology, it's certainly in my field, has gone exponential. When I first started doing sound engineering, it was all analog. Now it's all computer-based, in fact, including the consoles. The consoles, the sound desks we use, are literally a computer with faders, and they happen so fast. So, yeah, maybe I'm wrong, Randall, about saying 100 years. Maybe it's 50 years. Maybe it's 20 years. Don't know. I guess we wait and see, because I have been surprised before.
We'll be more surprised as we continue with this discussion. Kind of our Shop Talk episode. David Stone, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on, so it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Continuing, David Stone is joining us this week. He's known as Stoneheart in the forums and coming to us from the standpoint of an engineer looking at science and what we can prove, what we can't prove. I would agree with you that if you had something that advanced, it wouldn't be like the TV show Stargate SG-1, where the Stargate and the group or organization maintaining it is totally outside of the rest of the government and the Department of Defense. You couldn't do that in the real world and have something that advanced running around in spaceships in the sky. If you had anti-gravity, maybe you could keep it going for a while, keep it secret. But there will be situations where you can't keep it a secret. And then we have to remember we're not the only country that has advanced technology.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a way to look at it is the amount of people who, conspiracy people, who see that we did not go to the moon. Okay, so a conspiracy about not going to the moon. How many people would have to remain silent for this long to cover up a conspiracy that large? I think it's untenable. I think it's kind of crazy, to be honest. Because I've read stuff before saying, you know, anti-gravity technology was developed back in the 1950s. You would know by now. It would absolutely be being used, and you would definitely see it. So I don't think human beings have actually managed to create that as yet. Will we ever be able to? I don't know. Everything in my brain as far as physics is concerned says no, but there's brighter minds than me that have created other stuff, so, you know.
Now, the other thing here is that it also raises more skepticism than ever that we are somehow or have somehow re-engineered or reverse-engineered alien technology. Number one, would we even know what we're dealing with if it's hundreds of years ahead of us? But if we did, and some advanced developments were perfected or copied from what we found, where's the evidence of that? Not light vision goggles like Colonel Corso.
I don't think so at all. I don't think human beings have back-engineered stuff. And in a lot of ways, we're kind of referring to Roswell here. I think Roswell, and a lot of my opinion of Roswell, probably needs to be buried at this stage. Everybody who was involved is dead, gone. It's so much conjecture going on, it's not funny. I don't think human beings have back-engineered things. Where would we even start? How would we know? What is it R.C. Clarke pointed out? Any significantly advanced technology would just appear as magic to us. I don't think we'd even know where to begin. When we get an idea of what it does or what it is, but how to engineer and create it, no idea. Yeah, back engineering. I think sometimes it's a bit of a cop-out in a lot of respects. Because, you know, you say, oh, we can back engineer something like Velcro. Well, sure, maybe we'll be able to figure out what the chemical makeup of it is. But it's the manufacturing process itself you'd have to back engineer. And that isn't actually that easy. I don't know what your guys' opinion on that is, but that's sort of mine. I think human beings, we also don't give ourselves how much credit we actually deserve for how creative and developmental we are by saying, oh, the aliens did it. Sort of takes away sort of the fact that human beings are quite inventive. And I get the same thing with the people going on about, oh, aliens created the pyramids. No, they didn't. Human beings did. We're very, very tenacious. We will find a way to solve problems or create something.
I love how you talk yourself in and out of things at the same time. It's really, because yeah. I'm going, yeah, but what about, and then all of a sudden you're, but that's really good, because that's, you know, that's the mark of someone who actually thinks about these subjects. You know, it is a favorite, of course, you know, for the skeptics to go, oh no, you know, the human beings, I mean, we could do so many amazing things. Pyramids had to be made by human beings, but then if somebody says, well, could we reverse engineer a UFO? And it was like, oh, I don't know. Or did I saw a UFO? Well, human beings are frail, not very smart, prone to errors. You know, it's always this confirmation bias for people's opinions.
I think, but, Randall, it's because I know enough to know I don't know anything. I mean, all of this for me is just spinning ideas around. Could we recreate, say, you know, you say, take a cell phone. I've got an iPhone in front of me here. And we sent that back 30 years, 40 years. Could human beings actually back engineer that? Possibly. What say we sent it back 200 years? No, they couldn't. So let's say we've got a civilization who's literally damn near a million years technologically advanced than we are. Can we back engineer the technology? And actually, I'm going to be kind of a positive and say, maybe.
That's really refreshing. Why do you say that?
Because we are a technological civilization, and right now we have developed electronics. We understand quantum physics, etc. We could get an idea of what this is. Now, 200-300 years ago, we'd have no idea what this is. It may as well be magic. And I think there's a tipping point in a civilization whereupon they get to a point where they can look at things and go, yes, we could probably do that, as soon as we work out what it is that actually does. Know what I mean?
I brought this up in the past with Gene as well, where I will say, okay, we're at the point now where we can individually look at individual atoms. In fact, we can look at individual particles within atoms now. Mm-hmm. In fact, we can make antimatter now. I mean, yes. It's only in small amounts, but when you can start to manufacture the building blocks of existence, you're getting pretty close to being able to do pretty much anything you want with it.
You did know. Moving up. Are you heading more and more towards the Cartesian scale? Are you heading toward that type 1 style civilization, if you want to use that sort of labeling for it? I don't think we're that far away as a species. We've got a lot of things we've got to overcome, worst of which is trying not to wipe ourselves out in the meantime by all kinds of different means. But, you know, I've got a lot of faith in humanity. I think at some point we will get through our adolescence. We will start to actually develop and to cycle us back around to these ideas. I think at some point a civilization gets to a stage technologically whereupon, yes, they can back engineer things. Yes, we can actually create stuff that would otherwise seem magical to any generation beforehand. In fact, I mean, I would say look at my grandparents. I mean, how confused they are with technology. Very, very confused. But for us, I'm Generation X. I grew up with it. It's part of me. It's second nature. So, you know, as human beings march forward, I think things like anti-gravity technology, etc., will happen. You know, the whole thing, can we travel faster than light? No. No, we can't. I mean, there's a physical speed limit to that. But can we go around that? I would say yes. At some point, humanity will figure out a way to actually do that. Maybe because I've got a bit of positivity for human beings. I mean, we could just stop being negative about ourselves and actually start to grow up a wee bit, I think. Slightly off topic, but you know where I'm going.
Okay, so we don't have a Zefram Cochrane. working in silence in a garage trying to develop warp drive. On the other hand, we look at the inventions envisioned in Star Trek. And there was a book called The Science of Star Trek many, many years ago. And I remember very little about it. We've seen some things come to pass. The communicator, the tricorder in different forms, the tablet, which was shown in Star Trek Next Generation and 2001 Space Odyssey, things like that. Mm-hmm. Warp drive, we know that they've looked into it. There was a studies in the 90s, I think, saying, well, it would require planet or star-sized power systems to make it work. But then the last I heard is they scale that down quite a bit. I don't think it means we'll have warp drive 20 years from now. But the thing being, we're trying, and there may be a route to find an answer. Also, transporting matter from one place to another. Except when you do that and you try it, don't have a fly get in there.
I love it. warp drive. Honestly, mathematically, yes, it can be made to work. Physically, well, from a technician's point of view, if you can solve the math, eventually you can solve the engineering. It becomes an engineering problem at that stage. So is it now an engineering problem? Do we know the math? Well, we do. The problem is we now need to work. We're going to have to work within the bounds of what technology we have now. So will the technology come along over the next 25, 30, 50 years? Yes. It's a matter of when, not if, as far as I'm concerned. And I always try to be very positive about it. And, you know, having worked in the technological field for so long, I've seen things change so fast that I'm kind of quite positive about how we can actually overcome all kinds of different engineering problems. Like I said, I'm a bit of a nuts and bolts guy.
Well, okay, so I have to take a little bit of an issue with the whole math thing, because math is just a way of modeling an idea.
We'll have more math after we add up these announcements. That didn't work. Gene, David, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.